number three of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We're down to our final four in the NFL. And I can't even believe it. Tomorrow, it's already Thursday. You know, I know we still got an hour left in the show, but Sunday's coming real quick. It really is. Today does not seem like a Wednesday. I'll tell you that. I thought today was like Tuesday, if I'm being honest. I saw Hickey in the newsroom. I said, oh my God, it's a Hot Take Hickey Wednesday. I forgot all about it. I forgot all about it. So I think Ryan's going to join us in studio tomorrow. He's like, what time am I going on? I'm like, I forgot. Yeah, Cam Jordan at 4:20. We got Cam Lewis. So the Bills coming up at 5:20. It said, you know what, Hickey? We'll punch it in tomorrow. Let's talk tomorrow. I got some good sleep last night. But I don't know why. I think the first segment and the first hour, I was just so damn good doing this job. Let me just tell you that I put so much energy out there. And I'm usually always at a 10 when it comes to energy. You don't usually listen to me and go, yeah, that Zach Gelb's boring. You know, that Zach Gelb doesn't have a lot of energy. You know, some guy tweeted me. He tweeted me 4 or 5 days ago. He's like, oh, you're so boring. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to respond to you. But I'm just curious if he tweeted me before. So I went down this stupid rabbit hole on Twitter where I searched his handle with my name in it. And I kid you not, Stu, he complained about another host being boring and how entertaining I was about a year ago. Now, I think I'm the same guy from a year ago that I am now. But if we got boring, you let me know. If you hear Zach Gelb and you go, oh, this is a pedestrian talk show host, you let me know and I'll get better. But I just think that's one crazy guy. I was going to say something I probably couldn't say on the radio. But just one crazy guy that ended up not using enough Q-tips in the past year. That's just going to be me. So we'll talk to Cam Lewis of the Bills coming up in 20 minutes from now. I'll ask this simple question. Are we tired of the Chiefs? Like, if the Chiefs win a Super Bowl and they win their next two games, they are going to be the first team in the history of the NFL to win back-to-back-to-back NFL championships. You know, Super Bowls. They're going to be the first team in the Super Bowl era to go back-to-back-to-back. Never been done before. Unprecedented. But the Chiefs, I will say, because of the officials and because of the two calls that they got up against the Texans and because of how much that they already won, you know, in their last three Super Bowls, I never found the Chiefs to be unlikable, but I think this group is starting to become the villain nationally. Where last year you had that moment for a little bit. Remember when the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season and they had a call go against them where they had a big catch, I think it was to Kelce, and it got negated because I want to say it was Kadarius Toney, maybe. Someone was lined up offsides. I think it was Kadarius Toney. And Mahomes was bitching about the officials right in front of Josh Allen. So that was a moment, not for an extended stretch, but a moment where the Chiefs were unlikable. Now, Stu, I know you're a Raiders fan, so you probably always hate the Chiefs. But in terms of national perception, like take off the Raiders cap for a second, put on the national executive producer, you know, associate producer kind of hat on. Up until this year, did you think the Chiefs were hated? Because this is the first year where I actually sense there is animosity from a lot of football fans of the Kansas City Chiefs play.
I think this is the first year we're really seeing it. And I think it's a combination of things, but I think probably once they won last year, that's when it started to turn.
So a combination of things. I would say just because they win and the officials. Is there anything else?
I think people are tired of the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, too. I don't think that helps.
Oh, and that's coming from a Swiftie. Stuart Kovacs. You know, if you were Stuart Kovacs, they introduced for the Super Bowl, you would say, Stuart Kovacs, I'm a Swiftie. Instead of saying, where'd you go? Ryder?
Ryder, yes, Ryder? You got it.
Is that University of Ryder? Ryder University?
It is University.
So University of Ryder.
Ryder University.
Oh, Ryder University. Yeah. So you wouldn't say Stuart Kovacs, Ryder University. You'd be like, Stu Kovacs, feeling 22, big fan of Taylor Swift. That's pretty much that you're going to
pretty much, yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, I really hope the Bills beat the Chiefs just for one moment and one moment only. And I'll be at the game, so I probably can't hear it anyway. But our buddy Deion Dawkins, you already Schnow University. To have that at the Super Bowl, as someone, I'm no longer the dean of you already Schnow University, but there was a 2-year stretch, I will put this on my LinkedIn one day, where I was the dean of you already Schnow University. For my buddy Deion Dawkins, which if the Bills, I was going to reach out. I talked to Deion today. I was going to ask him to come on the show this week, but you know, I don't want to bug him too much. So if the Bills get to the Super Bowl, that's when I will bug our buddy Deion Dawkins and say, okay, now you got to get on the show. Now you got to come on the show. So I was catching up with him today, but that'd be pretty damn cool if the Bills get to the Super Bowl. So we can have the dean of University. So that's that. The Chiefs, to me, I think people are tired. And I think it's the first time where they're kind of feeling in the villain sense. Not the villain sense that the Patriots were, but we are getting into that direction when it comes to Kansas City. Now, out of these four storylines, Stu, if you had to rank them 1, 2, 3, and 4, how would you rank them? Chiefs repeating, Bills getting their first Super Bowl, Saquon Barkley, return of the running back, Eagles win it all, or the Commanders, that organization returning, Jaden Daniels being a superstar. If I could tell you, you know, Eagles win the Super Bowl, Bills win the Super Bowl, Commanders and the Chiefs, how would you rank those four storylines in terms of what you would want to see?
Oh, what I would want to see? Okay.
Well, how did you think I was going to ask it?
What I thought would be the most...
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Instead of what you would want, what do you think would be the most important?
I think most important would be Chiefs 1, Bills 2, Commanders 3, Eagles 4. What I would want...
I think I only... Wait, give me that order one more time.
Chiefs 1, the three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
Bills 2, just Josh Allen winning it. The Bills hadn't won in so long. 3, the Commanders, you know, with the rookie quarterback winning, the new ownership, 3, and then the Eagles, 4 with Barkley.
Am I crazy to say that the Bills and the Commanders winning it all would be a bigger storyline to me than the Chiefs three-peating? I know it's unprecedented. I know there's never been a team to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, and it would do so much more in already a legacy that doesn't really need to be helped out for Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. But the Bills have never won a Super Bowl, period. And, like, this would be a huge moment for Josh Allen. And you look at the Commanders, you could have been the biggest Commander fan on the planet. If I would have told a Commander fan before the year, forget Super Bowl, you'd be the NFC Championship game, they'd be like, what deal with the devil did I make that I wasn't aware of? But that organization used to be such a proud organization, and that fan base had so much apathy. I would actually think out of these four storylines remaining, the Commanders winning the Super Bowl would be the biggest because it'd be the most shock. Then I would say, the Bills, because the celebration that would happen with the Bills winning would be crazy. Then the Chiefs back to back to back. And then, yeah, the Eagles would be fourth, which would kind of be. So we both agree on the Eagles being fourth. I could be sold on the Chiefs being moved up to 2 and the Bills falling back to 3. But if the Commanders win the Super Bowl, Stu, unpredictable. Jaden Daniels in year 1, right? A rookie quarterback winning a Super Bowl. And this fan base going from being the laughing stock of the league, right? Synonymous with just horrible ownership. And always the only time we're going to talk about the Commanders is when there's a negative storyline. That Dan Quinn winning it all. A roster that you look at, you would never think would be in the Super Bowl. If they're there and they win it, whew, that would be something. Now, how about what do you want?
What I want, I would say, I think the Commanders would be what I would want. Hmm. I think that'd be really, like you said, cool to watch. Bills 2, Eagles 3, Chiefs 4.
Okay, so we're similar there. Chiefs 4 for me. I would say the Eagles 3. I would actually go Commanders 2, nothing against them. I want to see the Bills win a Super Bowl. And I know people are going to say, but Zach, you're a Patriot fan. You know, hey, I want to see the Bills win a Super Bowl because of Deion. If I'm just being honest, I'm going to college with him. But really, it's more so, imagine the celebration if the Bills win it all. Like, just the social media content to me would be so fascinating to watch. So that's what I would say I would want to see happen. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. 4227. Let's go to Connecticut. One of our favorites, Rob, joins the extravaganza. What's up, Rob?
Jack, what's up? You know Buffalo, Bills Mafia, we go crazy, stupid, nuts if we hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And I am a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. And you just went way up from boring to top of the list as far as the most entertaining ever in the sports radio personalities ever. I listen to you every day, and whoever the jerk was that said you are boring, he's way out there in left field somewhere. Always enjoy listening. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to have who? Cam Lewis coming on pretty soon?
Yeah, we got Cam Lewis of the Bills coming up in 10 minutes. So it should
I'm
be
waiting
fun. Never
to listen
talk to,
that one, my friend. But listen, I at the beginning of the show, I just wanted to let you know that when you were going off, I was about ready to take the train. Obviously, I can't drive because I'm blind. Mm-hmm. But I was going to come down to the studio, bring my blood pressure machine, and check your blood pressure because you were way up there, kid.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Rob. Thanks so much for calling in, as always, and always supporting the show. Yeah, I have lost my mind many times before on the air. That's well documented, whether we were doing the weekends from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time in this time slot, or in the time slot before this one, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, or now the 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time slot. I'm always good for a rant, but what is my trigger? Like, I don't speak to a therapist. But if I ever did it, they're like, what's your trigger? What gets you going? It's just when incompetent people make incompetent decisions. That's what it is. And like, I would love to be the level of incompetent that Shot Khan is. Like, you're a billionaire, right? Life would be easier if I had billions and billions and billions of dollars. But when everyone's telling you to do something, and it's so obvious and there was no justification to keep Trent Baalke, and you basically say, if a new coach comes in and tells me, oh, I don't want Trent, and gives me a valid reason he would be out, why are you keeping him? And already screwed you over and getting Ben Johnson. I think they'll try to reconnect with Liam Cohen. But Liam Cohen just put it out today that he's not going to Jacksonville. So the fact that it took that long to realize you messed up. It'd be one thing if you messed up, you saw the reaction, and then 2 days later you fired. You waited several weeks. And Ben Johnson saying no thank you wasn't enough because you thought you had Liam Cohen in your back pocket. And he jumped out and he ran 3,000 miles away from you. So it's like, what are we doing? But that really got me going. And that happened like 2 minutes before the show. Like, we were going to undress the Jaguars anyway because it was obvious that it looked like they were going to get Robert Saleh. Now we don't know who their coach is going to be. But when you go from that to then Baalke's gone, and we were 30 seconds away. Right? I heard the big voiceover guy go, 30 seconds remaining. Before we were coming on the show, and I go, whoa! I got in my talkback system. I go, Samter and Stu, Trent Baalke just got fired. And then Samter tried to say something to me. I'm like, not now. I'm like, because I had to think of something, and I was sending out the pre-show tweet and doing all that, and then I knew when the microphone came on that it wasn't going to take much to really get me going here on this Jaguar situation. So I think that's my trigger in life. If something is obvious and you do the opposite and it's just marinated in incompetence, that really does annoy me. But anyway, 5 college football coaches under pressure entering next year. If I had to just talk about 5, these would be the 5 I'm talking about. Mike Norvell, right? You were the bell of the ball last year. Then this year you were horrible, right? Everything just went the wrong way for Florida State. You got to get Florida State back to contending for an ACC. I'm not saying you got to win the ACC championship, but just be in the mix, because if you're not, then a lot of people are going to start to say that you're going to need to go and you're going to need to be out. You're entitled to a redemption year because of what you did the 2 years prior, but this year went so far south. Like, even people that thought the Seminoles were going to be bad, this went so far south you couldn't even imagine with what happened. Lincoln Riley, you got to get out of this mediocrity. You're at USC, all right? The first year, you were very successful. You could have won that Pac-12 championship if Caleb Williams didn't get hurt. Playing on one leg in that game up against Utah. The last 2 years, they've just regressed significantly. You got to show me that you could be more than a mediocre coach, or it looks like this experience at USC is just not going to work. Brian Kelly, I got to see LSU going to the playoff. Not only did you miss the playoff this year in a 12-team format, first time ever being a 12-team format, you also saw the school that you left because you said you could win a national championship at LSU. You didn't feel like you could do that at Notre Dame. You saw them go to a national championship game. Brian Kelly must make the playoff next year. Billy Napier. See, he was on the hot seat entering this year. We all thought he was fired dunzo with how they started off that season, getting blown out by Miami, and yet a few other games as well. And then they kind of turned the narrative around. They turned the ship around. And they restored a little confidence towards the end of the season with Florida and Billy Napier. But it's all coming down to what's DJ Lagway like. That's what it all comes down to. And we'll see what the tone is with Billy Napier after this season. And then finally, Kalen DeBoer. Year one in September after you beat Georgia. Oh, yeah, this team's definitely making the playoffs up. Alabama could be a lot better than what people were thinking they would be going into this season. Now, I don't know who's going to be your quarterback next year. with Jalen Milroe gone, but you got to make the playoff. Alabama cannot afford, and I love DeBoer. I think the world DeBoer, I've been a fan of his since Fresno State. We know what he did at Sioux Falls before that, but really Fresno State when I first start to become aware of him. And then he was wonderful at Washington, made a national championship game at Washington. Yes, folks, that's right, Washington. That's where he was in the Natty. And now you're at Alabama. So you just missed out on the playoff. Your first team out this year. You have to make the playoff this upcoming season. Also, the SEC, it's weird to say it's down because it's still the SEC, but this is now the college football world is run by the Big Ten. Now, it may not be that way for years and years to come, right? They've taken the baton for 2 years, Michigan winning it all, Ohio State winning it all. But this is the first time we enter a college football season where you say the SEC is a premier conference. It's not based off fact. It's not based off something you could tangibly hold on to. And I think the world of the SEC, but the SEC is open. So let's see if Kalen DeBoer next year in a 12-team format can win an SEC championship or just make the college football playoffs. So those are five coaches I think are under pressure entering this upcoming year. All big names, all at big-time programs. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Billy Napier at Florida, Brian Kelly at LSU with his LSU family, with the Tigers, and also Lincoln Riley at USC and Mike Norvell at Florida State. We'll take a break. AFC Championship game on Sunday. We're doing this again, right? Another playoff matchup with the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, this time at Arrowhead. When we come on back, defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, also attended SUNY Buffalo. So he's like practically a Buffalo native at this point. Cam Lewis going to join us when we return in five. All righty, we're doing this again. It's a playoff game, AFC Championship, the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. We can't wait for Sunday. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a defensive back for the Buffalo Bills. Has been with the organization since 2019, and that's Cam Lewis, kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Cam, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
I'm good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on. I'm doing fantastic. I got to start you off, and we always ask this whenever we have people on that live in the Buffalo area. I know you went to SUNY Buffalo, and now you've been playing with the Bills for a while. Favorite wing spot in Buffalo, just wondering.
Now, it used to be Elmo's near UB, but now it's Barbill.
Barbill's the best. So
yeah, it's really good.
So I went to college with Deion Dawkins and also Tyler Medikevich, who, you know, Deion and Tyler used to be on the Bills. But those Cajun honey butter barbecue wings from Barbill.
Amazing.
Oh, like a chef's amazing kiss. And then you got to go blue cheese, right? You don't put ranch on those wings.
I do put ranch on them. Yeah, I still haven't got the blue cheese wave, but I'm a ranch guy all the way.
You got to be careful. You know, in Buffalo, you say ranch, that's a problem. Like, what's the obsession with ranch? That like broke my heart. Like, I can't root for Cam Lewis anymore now that you don't eat blue cheese.
No, man, I just grew up off, ranch, you know, being a Detroit guy. And when I came up here, everybody was like, blue cheese, I just can't get with it, man. It's a different taste for sure, but I may work on the blue cheese soon. I don't know.
What has this been like for you? So you go to college, SUNY Buffalo, and then since then you were able to stay, being with the Bills for the last few years. Like, I would say that you're pretty much from Buffalo, but then, you know, you say ranch over blue cheese, so I don't know if I could say that. But all kidding aside, just being able to stay in one spot for so many years, what is that like for you personally?
No, it's been good, man. Ever since I've got here in 2015 at UB, they've, you know, embraced me with open arms, shown me a lot of love. Like, I've been here. You know, a lot of guys call me a local guy. You know, it's really now just my second home since I've been here, you know, for so long. My family life's coming up here. It's not too far from Detroit. So, you know, I married my wife here, had my two kids here. So, yeah, it's just an important place in my life so far.
Cam Lewis here with us from the Buffalo Bills. They have the Chiefs coming up on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. Before we get to the AFC Championship game, just how about the emotions of last week, man? That was some finish, and that was a crazy game up against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, man, it was a good game, man. We all knew it was going to come down to the wire. You know, two good teams dueling it out, man. But I'm just glad we just got the win at the end of the day and were able to, you know, move on to the next round.
How do you describe that environment? I've been to Buffalo for a few games. Those fans are pretty much second to none. It's just absolute mayhem. How would you describe that environment that you saw going back to last Sunday?
It's hard to describe. It's like one of those things that you have to be there to experience in yourself. The fans are insane. It was so loud in that stadium from kickoff to, you know, the end of the game, man. It's just an unreal experience. And I know, like, a lot of places, especially around, you know, the NFL don't have that, but it's Bills Mafia is second to none, man. They are insane in that atmosphere, that playoff atmosphere. Every time we are in the postseason, they take it up a notch, and I never think they can do it, but they always do it.
Cam Lewis here with us. How about that 2-point conversion? I thought Mark Andrews obviously was going to catch the ball. He didn't. Just how do you look back at that whole sequence when I know you guys knew you still had to recover an onside kick, but knowing, man, you were that much closer to advancing back to an AFC championship game.
Yeah, it was a good feeling, you know, some relief, you know, that they didn't convert on that 2-point play, man. It's just, like I said, just some relief. But we know we had to, you know, recover the onside kick and then ultimately get another first down just to seal it. But, yeah, just some relief, man. We've been working really hard as a unit, as a whole team, just to get to this point. You know, it's not over yet. You know, we still need to try to win this next game, and then we can move on from there. But, yeah, just a lot of relief, man. This team is just so close together. So just like another family, to be completely honest with you. So all the work that we put in is just showing on the football field.
Does it feel like this year is different? You guys have been close for a while. I know you still have to get two more victories to do what you guys want to accomplish this year, but does this year feel different than the previous years?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of selfless guys in that locker room, man, that don't care about the big name recognition. They just care about doing their job and trusting in the guy next to you that they're going to do their job. And then I've never been, you know, to another team or another place, but I always hear guys that have been, that a lot of guys don't like go out to dinner throughout the week and hang with, you know, your teammates. And we do that on a regular. You know, we see everybody every day and, you know, at work, but outside of work, we're still hanging out. We're still going to, you know, get dinner, go to shows together, go to, you know, hockey games or lacrosse games. So we just have that family atmosphere, man. And it's been paying off on the field. You know, like I said, you don't want to let your brother down. And, you know, we know that he doesn't want to let, you know, you down as well.
You know what some of the outside noise was about the Bills, Cam, entering this season? Yeah. Oh, you know, they always get close, but they don't get the job done. The AFC East got tougher. You know, maybe the Dolphins or the Jets will win it. A lot of people jumped off that Bills bandwagon. Did you guys hear a lot of that noise? And how much did that kind of motivate you guys to maybe prove some of those people wrong?
I mean, we've heard it, you know, anybody that, you know, turn on the TV or have social media has heard it, but we don't let that outside noise, you know, affect us, what we do inside the building. We know what we need to do to win. We know what it takes, you know, to win. And we, like I said, we just stay together as one big unit and just kept our heads down and kept working. And like I said, it's been paying off so far. You know, we still got another game this week that we have to try to be 1-0 in by Sunday night. But, yeah. Just staying down, staying hungry, and going to get what we want.
Yeah, and you know, tough times, right? They build tough teams, right? This is a close locker room. It's a tough locker room. We know what the scars are going up against this team in Kansas City. You've been able to beat them in the regular season the last 4 years, but haven't got the job done in the postseason. You know, are those previous matchups, do they, like, cross your mind this week? Or is it just so locked in on this game Sunday and this new opportunity that you're not thinking about some of the unfortunate moments of the past for the Bills?
100% of those, 100% locked in just on this new opportunity. You know, we can't change the past. And we acknowledge it. You know, we know what happened, but this is a new opportunity, a new game plan going in. We're honestly just treating it like a new opponent, even though we've, you know, played them a lot over the past couple of years. It's like really a division rival. But, you know, we just having that locked in mentality. Like, we just need to get the job done. And that's all our focus is at.
We know the players on the Chiefs, right, and their coach, right? Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Travis Kelce, one of the greatest tight ends ever. And Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches ever. Just out of curiosity, what is it like to prepare? You guys have done it so many times, but now where the stakes are, what is it like to prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs this week?
It's a little tough, honestly, just because, you know, You know, you have the game plan for Kelce, you have the game plan for Mahomes, and they have some wrinkles in there. They do a lot of stuff, especially, you know, week to week. They put some plays in that have, you know, gave you some problems in the past. So, you know, you just have to prepare for a lot of stuff, but you can't prepare for everything. You just, honestly, whatever we, you know, our coaches shows and, you know, during the week, highlight those, but you're just honestly just trying to do your job. Whatever call they make, we're just going to play to our best of our ability and just trying to get the win at the end of the day.
Now, I got to ask you this. You're playing in the game on Sunday. We have heard, right, so much this past week about the preferential treatment the Chiefs get from the refs. We heard the Texans complain about it a lot in the aftermath of their playoff loss. Do you feel like you're not only playing Kansas City, but you're also playing the refs coming up on Sunday?
No, we don't focus on that, to be honest with you, man. We can't control what the refs do, what they call. Only thing we can control is, you know, what we do out on the field, our effort, you know, doing our job. And whatever happens, happens. We can't control the result. Just trying to put our best foot forward and try to come out with a win.
Tell me what it's like to play for Sean McDermott. It's the only head coach that you've known in the NFL, and clearly Sean McDermott took a big step the last few years, and what he's been able to do this year kind of have people believe in the Bills once again.
Yeah, man, he's a good coach, man, especially a defensive-minded coach, you know, first. This is a guy that you want to play for. Hearts on the fundamentals because, you know, really what's the most important, especially late in the year. We do a lot of two-minute. We do a lot of situational football. He's just trying to get your football IQ to a higher level just when those times, you know, critical times in a game, you don't flinch, you know. Such a loving guy who, you know, harps on family first. You know, we have walkthroughs. Saturday walkthroughs, our family are able to come there and be a part of that as well. So you don't see that a lot of different places. Just a loving guy, just a great coach. And if I always had the chance to, you know, play for McDermott, I would.
I got to ask you about 17. We all know how special Josh Allen is.
I
it's weird to say he's on a different level this year because he's always been a great quarterback, but to see what he's been able to do week in and week out, knowing you have that dude at your quarterback, just what's the thought that is elicited from that?
Don't let him down. Honestly, just don't let him down. You know, his level of play is going to be at an all-time high every time you step out on the field, man. You're just trying to do whatever you can do just to put him in the best positions to go out there and score some touchdowns, especially on the defensive end. And honestly, special teams, always trying to get a ball back to 17. And you know he's going to do something special when he has it.
You know, we talked about all the Chiefs' all-time great players. You have an all-time great player on your defense in Von Miller. I know you're defensive back, but having Von being that leader on defense, what are you able to learn from him?
A lot of different things, honestly, but the biggest thing is just the mindset that he has, how he approached the game, how he approached, you know, week in and week out. He just does the right things. That's someone you always want to learn from, no matter what position you're at. I've just been following, you know, his lead, looking from afar, asking him different questions, you know, my career since he's been with us. But, you know, just always a good guy to steal little nuggets from, you know. You just have that leadership. And he said something like a quote, not really a quote, but in our defensive unit meeting room, you just emphasize just the love that we have as a defensive a unit. And I don't think no other guys really would have respected it unless it came from, you know, Von's mouth. It's just the type of love that we have as a unit and just not, you know, like I said, just not trying to let your brother down. And he just really harped on that. And I feel like that kind of set it for our unit.
You know, I also heard that he's been preaching to everyone to eat blue cheese over ranch. That's what I heard.
No, I haven't heard that one, man.
That could be the difference. I think you guys beat Kansas City this week if I see a photo of you having blue cheese with your barbell wings.
I don't think it's that simple, man.
Well, you never know what's in the secret sauce. Well, hey, anyway, Cam Lewis, good luck this week. Appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There you go. Cam Lewis from the Buffalo Bills joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's take our final break of the day. We'll come on back. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Gary in Jacksonville says, Zach, with Trent Baalke out, who do you think could be realistic for the Jaguars to hire? You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at Riley Auto Parts. I'm assuming he means for a head coach. So obviously Ben Johnson goes to the Bears. That could have been Jacksonville if Balke was out earlier. Liam Cohen today, this was the final nail in the coffin for Trent Baalke. He goes, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to go back to Tampa Bay. So could you try to get Liam Cohen again? Yes. I don't think it's realistic, though. So I would suggest these two names. I would not hire Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh does nothing to me. It does not bring hope to the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Nice guy. I wouldn't make him my head coach. Where the state of this organization is at, where the career of Trevor Lawrence really hangs on who they next bring in as the head coach, right? The division, they go win the division next year. Texans are good. They're not this immovable force. You have Trevor that you got to fix and have him be healthy, I think more importantly. You got a really good young wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. And then also, you got Josh Hines-Allen, who's a very good pass rusher. You compliment him along with Trayvon Walker. I would make these two moves. I would see if Joe Brady would take the job. And he's still with the Buffalo Bills. But I would see Joe Brady. That would be the young, offensive-minded approach. Try to mimic what you thought you were either going to get in Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen. I'd be okay hiring Joe Brady. If not Joe Brady, though, I would go with something that's safe. And I think Pete Carroll is very safe. Pete Carroll, to me, say what you want about how it ended in Seattle. Pete Carroll's a damn good football coach. Pete Carroll made it work with Geno Smith. Pete Carroll believed in Russell Wilson before anyone else believed in Russell Wilson. And I think Pete Carroll would bring stability to the Jaguars organization. Now, it only may only be for 3-4 years, but that 3-4 years saves your career of Trevor Lawrence compared to you bringing in some other guy and it not working. And then, all right, it's the Trevor Lawrence ship has really passed you by. So I would say with Liam Cohen out, with Ben Johnson to the Bears and now Trent Baalke out, I would try to pursue either Joe Brady or Mr. Pete Carroll. Now, I was reading today, and this is up the Zach Gelb alley. Really is. You give me a mock draft in January, I'm all in. Because at least we know the teams by then in terms of the top 10, right? But you give me a mock draft this early, I'm in. I'm in for mock drafts like in the summer. That's my one football nerd thing. You give me a good mock draft. I love reading a good mock draft. So Mel Kiper, right, the godfather of mock drafts, he put together a mock draft for 2025, and it was, I saw it via On3, new 2025 NFL mock draft for Mel Kiper. Give you the top 10 picks. Bears in at 10, Will Campbell, LSU. 9. Will Johnson out of Michigan. Jalen Walker out of Georgia to the Panthers. You know, Will Johnson going to the Saints at 9. Jalen Walker going to the Panthers at 8. Williams, the edge rusher out of Georgia, who's a stud, going to the Jets at 7. McMillan, the sensational wide receiver, who some believe could be the best wide receiver in the draft, maybe even better than Travis Hunter. And at 6 to the Raiders. You'd be good with that, Stu, if you got McMillan?
He's a very good player, so yes. I would love a quarterback, but that seems like it's going to be pretty hard to do.
Yeah, you're not going to get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders probably there unless you trade up. So you have McMillan, you have Bowers, makes the destination a little bit more attractive to you, the head coaches, for whoever your next quarterback is going to be. 5 Jaguars go with Mason Graham, who's a stud out of Michigan. You know, he was one of the better players in football this past year in college. But think about the way that he wrecked that Ohio State game, what Ohio State did up against everybody else. You know, that was a Mason Graham masterpiece. Like, if I'm Mason Graham, team's like, why should I draft you? I'd be like, turn on the tape against Ohio State. That's what I would say. Ask how many gold pants Ohio State got when I was on the football field. That's what I would say. 4, this would be great. Abdul Carter to the New England Patriots out of Penn State. I'm looking for a reason to root for Penn State, right? Zach Gelb, always looking for a reason to root for Penn State. I really want Abdul Carter. I would actually be disappointed at this point if the Patriots don't get Abdul Carter. Now, if they get Travis Hunter, I wouldn't be all that upset if he did fall, but I really want Abdul Carter. I think this dude is going to be a stud. I think he could be like Micah Parsons. I really do. And he doesn't have that much experience. The way that he plays, yes, I know most people say, oh, Zach, you want an offensive lineman. Yes, you want a wide receiver. Go get that stuff in free agency or later on in the draft. But an elite pass rusher, I'm not passing up on that. Shedeur Sanders to the Giants in at number three. Travis Hunter, according to Mel Kiper, in at two to the Brownies. And then in at number one, Cam Ward of the Tennessee Titans. So, Mike Borgonzi. It's a good name. Borgonzi, who used to be with the Chiefs, is now the GM of the Tennessee Titans. He talked about how they're not going to pass up on a generational talent in the draft with the number one overall pick. That was pretty much the genesis of the quote with Mike Borgonzi. It was, quote, we won't pass on a generational talent. So the question then becomes, who's the generational talent? Because I don't think Shedeur Sanders nor Cam Ward are generational talents. Like, coming out of college, not that all these guys have aged well, Caleb Williams, generational talent. Andrew Luck, generational talent. Trevor Lawrence, generational talent. Like, just some of the quarterbacks. This has not been, oh, Shedeur Sanders, generational talent. Sure, I think we all say really good. We'll see how great he could be. Cam Ward, really good. We'll see how great he could be. So, you look at generational talents. Stu, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, Travis Hunter. Two-way player, wide receiver, defensive back. But Adam Schefter was on WEEI up in Boston with their new afternoon show. I know our buddy Fitzy's on there. Ted Johnson is now a co-host there. I think Andy Hart is also on that show. But they have Schefter on each week. And this is Adam Schefter, right? Who's the generational talent, right? It's a big thing for Patriot fans or the Pats organization in NFL. And this is what Schefter said.
Titans President of Football Operations Chad Brinker, yes, at today's press conference. We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. If you had to guess, not holding your feet to the fire per se, but if you had to guess, who do you think that generational talent might be, or do you have any intimations as to which way the Titans would be going?
The defensive lineman from Penn State or the wide receiver cornerback from Colorado. Mm. That quote told me that they are not locked in to a quarterback at one. That is not what New England wanted to hear, that quote today.
No, it was not, sir.
Certainly not.
Are they really? Like, I'm even struggling to say it. Are they really going to pass up on a quarterback at one? You got Mr. Mayo boy there. And Will Levis, you don't believe in him. The coach is going to lose his mind. Forget lose his job. He'll lose his mind if Will Levis is a quarterback next year. You know Mason Rudolph isn't the quarterback. Like, Stu, I don't see how they're taking Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. And, hey, Schefter knows stuff. But I don't see how they're taking Hunter or Carter in at number one if Tennessee's keeping the pick. Right?
Yeah, that's tough. You would think at that point they would either trade it or, I don't know. I just feel like being at one, you almost have to take the quarterback. That's tough.
Now, the draft is in late April. So by then, could they already have their quarterback situation taken care of? Like, is Darnold going to Tennessee? Is that what they're doing? Is Aaron Rodgers, who has a home in Tennessee, in Nashville, is he going to the Tennessee Titans? Like, that's the only way I think you pass up on a quarterback. But if you don't address, and I mean seriously address, not like Band-Aid, you know, we're going to go bring in, you know, whatever, backup.
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, sure. Thank you, Stu. I knew you would have a name there. You guys have pretty much a Band-Aid each and every year. You know, that's the case now. That is where you have been kind of put to. But if you're bringing in Gardner Minshew, that doesn't exempt you from taking a quarterback. Doesn't preclude you from taking a quarterback. So unless you go get a Darnold or a Rodgers, I think they take a quarterback. Maybe this is them trying to trade out of the pick, though. Like saying, oh, we won't pass on the generational talent. And then maybe, I don't think that makes more teams call, but maybe more teams do call. But, you don't need to have that many smoke screens when you're number one team picking. Unless the Browns, really want to come up to one and you fall back to two and you're fine with either Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I don't know. But I would still be surprised. Like, if you say right now, gun to your head, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, one of them with Tennessee, yes. I wouldn't say no. And then, one and two is going to set the foundation for this draft, the obvious statement. But usually we know the picks. I still think it will be quarterback. But will it be quarterback? Will there be two quarterbacks taken in the first two picks, or will it just be one? Because you know the Giants want to get a quarterback. So I think it will go quarterback, and then Travis Hunter 3, and then I would say Abdul Carter 4 to the Patriots. That's what I think the way it's going to go. And quite frankly, I would not be disappointed if, let's say, Cam goes to Tennessee or Shador goes to Tennessee and then the other one goes to Cleveland and the Giants get Travis Hunter and then the Patriots end up getting Abdul Carter. I want Abdul Carter. Drake May, Abdul Carter, Christian Gonzalez. Get some foundational pieces once again in New England because we got to make the Patriots great again. That's what we got to do. It's been a long time. I haven't had a championship in a while now. Six of them. No, I haven't seen one since, what was it, February of 2019, I think? Yeah, I think so. It's been a long time. It's lonely, right, Stu? You wouldn't be able to know that pain all those years of me not having a Super Bowl.
Never. No. Certainly not.
How old do you think you'll be when you see a Raiders Super Bowl?
If I see a Raiders Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Honestly, like,
I'm saying, you take that or you want to throw a number out there?
I'd say 60. I don't know.
Okay. Stu at 60. Have a cat and a bunch of ranch, I'll tell you that. Cam Lewis, man. Takes balls, by the way. Player for the Buffalo Bills, admitting that he eats that crap ranch over blue cheese. You know when you know that you haven't won this debate? When Santer's fist pumping during the interview because he loves ranch. When you agree with Santer, geez, that's not good. Not good. Anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Cam Jordan, thank you for stopping by. Big thanks to Cam Lewis as well. Samter, Stu, Ack, each and every one of you. Appreciate you. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.